People right now, we are locked into the More Than Just an Interview podcast. This podcast is special. When I came up with this concept, I knew it was going to be impactful because there's so many people that look at the news differently than everybody else with a pure mind. There's so much disinformation in the world today. And to have a platform where honesty and vulnerability and truth can live fearlessly is a beautiful thing. And I only thought of one person that I wanted to be a main host with me on this, which was Zoe Rosegold. The More Than Just an Interview podcast, we touch on everything from the entertainment world, some social issues, business world, trending news around the world. But most importantly, we have straight talk about what some of the solutions to these things that we see and just our own perspectives to give people a really structured viewpoint so they don't think they're crazy and that it really is real. I'm honored, super honored to be hosting this podcast with Zoe Rosegold. We're on iHeartRadio. Shout out to Red Circle, our platform, and all of our donors that donate to the podcast to keep us alive and running. Zoe Rosegold, welcome as big time co-host to the More Than Just an Interview podcast, boss.
What's good? Peace, everybody. I am Zoe Rosegold. I'm entrepreneur, a wellness coach, podcast host, also a music artist, and just do a lot of HR stuff for Radio Pushers. So it's a pleasure to be here.
No doubt. We're going to jump right into it. The first thing we're going to do, we're going to show BET some love, and we're going to tell you why you need to get that BET Plus app. I'm trying to tell you, the BET Plus app is cooler than cable. Here it is right here. Check out BET Plus. There is only one place where you can go and actually stream real Black culture on TV, and that's the BET Plus app. From movies, sitcoms, to original content created by super innovative producer, legendary producers like Tyler Perry, you will find endless content. The BET Plus app is the most complete solution outside of cable. Actually, in my opinion, it replaces cable from a big way, except for YouTube TV. Shout out to YouTube TV. But the BET Plus app is what you need if you want to stay connected to the culture and see dope content 24 hours a day. Download the BET Plus app right now on any device, Android or iPhone or iPad on your TV. Let's get it. BET Plus app, stream premium Black culture on TV 24/7. Let's get it. Now back to our regular scheduled programming on 99.7 The Heat Miami, officially a part of the iHeartRadio family. All right. So the first topic that we're going to tap into today is going to be this Cardi B and Bia beef. And I'm going to give my two cents and then Z going to give her dollar and change. Mm-hmm. So here's what I think about this beef thing when it comes in general and then on the female side. As Black people, I feel like because it's a Black music form, art form. Let me just say that. That is something that is constantly pushed, I think, behind the scenes from other people. I'm not going to go in and say a particular race because different people work within the whole scope of things. I feel like it's a situation where they're constantly pushed to poke the bear in order to push sales, in order to push the disunity between everyone, because disunity breeds controversy, which breeds attention, which breeds pick a side, which breeds sales. I think that at the end of the day, when it comes to female rap beef, it's short-lived because they'll say something, then they'll go back and forth for a little bit, and then it's like, okay, it died down. It's not like the Kendrick and Drake thing, you know, where everybody's involved and da-da-da-da-da. To me, every female rapper has to beef with Cardi at some point. I think she's been the most attacked female rapper next to Megan. I think Megan's been the most attacked based upon everything that happened with her and Tory Lanez. But I don't like Bia's direction with this because you have your platform. It's still growing. You haven't cemented yourself as a powerhouse yet. And you need to focus on that. I just feel like it's a failed attempt. And then she put out a diss record that she screened on IG Live and everybody trashed it, including The Breakfast Club, Jess Hilarious and Charlamagne and DJ Envy. Everybody trashed the record. She just put out a record a couple of hours ago, and it's like 20,000 views on YouTube, which is underperforming based upon her millions, quote unquote, of followers. My thing is, if we stick to the art form of hip hop, your swag, you know, your talk game, the lifestyle, big, heavy talk game and all that, it'd be better for everything. I just feel like these attempts that constantly get thrown out there to say, hey, I'm beef with you, I'm going to do this and that, I just think it's just for clicks and likes. It's not going to sell a record for Bia more because Cardi is just bigger. That's why I like when Cardi stopped talking to Nicki. And I'm glad Nicki stopped talking about Cardi, because at the end of the day, Cardi B has more diamond singles than Nicki. Nicki is the best selling artist over here. You know what I'm saying? Like, they both got high awards in their lifetime. So to say who's the best always seems to be the thing with black artists. Somebody has to be number one. I never see that with country. I never see a pop star saying, ooh, I'm better than Taylor Swift. It's only black artists and black art form where we got to always divide and conquer. And the conquer is that the record labels keep all the money, like the Drake thing and the Kendrick Lamar thing, or who told J. Cole to take the diss record off. You know what I'm saying? Out of everything, that was the most gangster move, because he just said, listen, I don't want to be a part of the circus because I'm going to become a clown. So to me, you know, I like what Cardi did, because Cardi didn't even diss Bia. The thing that she just said, nobody want to be her. So she did a slick wordplay on her name, and it caused a tidal wave. But my thing is with Bia, if y'all run up on each other at an award show, there's no smoke like that. And to conclude my point, this beef thing is really starting to be comical, like WWE, because I think Big said it best, what's beef? Beef is when your mom not safe up in the streets. You know, we gotta like beef is when ICU guaranteed gonna be an ICU. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, we really gotta like slow this thing down, because the younger generation, Generation Z, you know, they may go back to that and start taking it serious. And when people get shot, like somebody got shot, Drake's bodyguard got shot in front of his house. I mean, it gets stupid. Over what? Over guys that's never going to be in the same room. I'm going to leave you with this. Cat Williams said something. He said, in 20 years, I've never ran into Kevin Hart in any hallway. But he said, God willing, one day we will run into a hallway together. When you have money, you can avoid people. When you don't have money, you can't avoid people. Because they can be where you are anytime. I'm gonna pull up. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's pulling up. You're not pulling up on Cardi. Nicki's not pulling up on Cardi, because what does it gain? It doesn't gain anything. And she can say she's the best rapper of all time. I mean, that'll never be cemented. And she knows that. Neither can Cardi. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about from a female perspective. Like, you both are great. You both have broken records and created an extreme lane for yourself. My thing is the Lottos, to Megan Thee Stallion, to Ice Spice, all these girls, the Lola Brooks, all these girls, they need to be connected at the hip of unity and not at the hip of, well, you know, I'm going to beef with you. And to me, people like Nicki was like 40. I think she's 40. Is she 40?
Yeah,
if she's 40, like, you know, you don't have barbs at 40. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, start putting people together. Like, nobody's, you know, start putting people together. Like, let's do that, because when they make me, I would love to see Kendrick and Drake on a record, but it doesn't have to be a suicide mission every time. Like, y'all got to blow one of each other. Somebody got to die. I mean, career wise, somebody got to take the L. Like, nobody, I don't want to see Drake take it. I want to see Pusha T take a L. I don't want to see nobody take a L. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So to me, in conclusion, the Bia and Cardi thing is just like, it was a failed attempt by Bia to get some attention she thought she was going to get, and it didn't work, because unfortunately with Bia, She's a great, amazing artist, but she's not on a level where you're going to impact the Giant. Go ahead, Z. You have to.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I think this is entertainment. That's all it is. I think it's entertainment. I think people, the music industry is flooded with music, and people are trying to stand out and rise to the top. You know, and it's difficult. So I think years ago, people would, you know, do outrageous tattoos so they could stand out. Then they used to do outrageous hair, you know, for them to stand out. Like, you know, especially the Miami boys out here, they did outrageous hairstyles. And it seems like every probably decade is something new that people are doing to really stand out. You know, now the teardrop on your face ain't working. So it's like, what else should we do? What else could we do? And they, you know, they went back to the original formula of hip hop, which is beef. You know, that formula always works because it always brings attention. I think when hip hop originally started, I think people really had beef with each other when they did rap about each other. They really didn't like each other. They really thought they, you know, so-and-so was biting my style. I don't like them. But now I think it's all artificial. You know, the beefs are artificial. They're created to bring up sales. And that's how they stand out nowadays. So I think from the time 50 and Kanye had that beef, I think that beef was totally artificial. They was like, who's going to sell more records? And then they saw how that formula worked. Like, their sales skyrocketed. I think they've been riding that horse ever since. Like, just the music industry has been riding that horse ever since. So the females are making more noise than the males right now. So it's been handed over to the females. The females are really, you know, doing it. You know, I don't see, I mean, the guys like Kendrick and J. Cole, you know, they're doing it too. But the young guys, the young rappers out here, you know, I don't really see them selling out shows like that. I don't know. But I don't think they're doing as much noise, making as much noise as the females. So the beef with Cardi and Bia, I mean, it's kind of, you could say it's kind of real. It could be, you can fall for it as is real, because there's always been a Puerto Rican and Dominican beef. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There's always been that little beef between each other. So Bia is half Puerto Rican, and Cardi is half Dominican. You know, so that beef has always been there. You know what I'm saying? So it looks kind of like it could be happening, but I just think it's all like made up for record sales. I actually started listening to Bia just off the beef. You know, I'm like, oh, she pretty good. Actually, I like her. You know, so I started listening to her off the beef. So I think that's what it's doing, is making people aware of her, and is making people, you know, align with Cardi or align with, you know, like, it just brings super fans. When people could rock with you because they like you, because somebody else is trying to mess with you, it creates this emotion and it creates super fans. So that's all I think that's going on right now.
Yeah, I agree with that, Z, 100%. I feel like even when you Google, like when you Google Bia's name right now, and, you know, this is the most, and this is the upside of beef. And then there's the downside of beef, because it's almost like the great one night stand, so to speak. Like, okay, we talking about you real quick, and then all of a sudden, okay, now it's back to the music. Like, right. You know what I'm saying? Like, Cardi has the ability to just be a topic at any point because she's just that relevant. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, and Bia is 32 years old. She is
American rapper. She debuted on the Oxygen reality TV show. Didn't know that. Didn't know that. But like I said before, I mean, when you Google it now, that's one of the first things that pops up.
You know? Right.
So to me, I just feel like, and like I said, she's an amazing, she's accomplished a lot. But to me, it's like, why go on Instagram Live creating a diss song about Cardi when Cardi has, I don't know, 100 million followers. And when she talk about it, that's going to give you exposure. And then it's not going to give you what you want. All attention isn't good attention. Just like all money isn't good money. Some things just backfire. And I just think that if she would have kept it strategic with Cardi, like Cardi said something. What was that song they did together? Her and Nicki did together. The only song they did together. Oh, man, with Offset. Uh-huh. Not with Offset, but with the Migos. Man,
yeah. What's that song? It's about a car, a hot.
It was something about a car. Cardi said something in the end. She was like, listen, you know, Nicki came back and changed her verse at the last minute after she heard my verse. She said something about, I'm going to coach you to play or something like that. And she just said that, but she let it ride because, you know, I was making my mark. And Nicki already was established. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that was going to be a big record. Oh, Motorsport.
Motorsport, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the record did phenomenal numbers. And I wasn't going to interfere with that, but I knew what she was saying behind the scenes. So, but see, she was smart enough to, look at the bigger picture. And sometimes I just think that you got to do that. You got to look at the bigger picture when it comes to what's going to be best for you and not just what's going to be the best for you think for a moment, because it's not going to work in the end. You know what I'm saying? You know, so B's best song is with J. Cole. Is with J. Cole, no doubt about it. And that's really how people define you in the end when they talk about, like, when I think of greats, you have to be great by yourself.
True.
If you're going to just be great, like I always say with Nicki, her best record is Moment for Life, even though she's not the only one on it. I mean, that's just a record that just, it was on a Pepsi commercial. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it was like, to me, I'm like, that's your best record. I want to go into the fact of this. Why aren't women more protected in hip hop? We see a lot of things going on right now with hip hop and women filing lawsuits for being sexually harassed and assaulted and raped. And you're not just black women. It's been, you know, white women as well. This recent one against Diddy, allegedly she's saying a lot of things, but you know, it seems like in an art form that has generated billions of dollars, it continues to generate billions of dollars. Why are women not protected more in this space when it comes to that? Like, they're so vulnerable. They're so attacked. And even to the, going back to the video vixens, if you want to call them that, on models, it just seems like the torture they go through to get to this space and the things that they have to endure, there needs to be a town hall meeting about women in hip hop. And there need to be new voices in this space, because it saddens me to hear all these horror stories and then the untold horror stories of women who have been raped, trafficked, maligned, disrespected, sexually propositioned for nothing, for a promise. And, you know, it's been going not just with black women. It's been with all types. With Kesha, you know, she was one of the first people to speak on it. You know, a lot of people. And Melissa Ford, I heard her bring it up one time on Joe Budden podcast. Shout out to Melissa Ford about just what you go through in the industry in general. And I want to speak on that, because we have to operate differently if we want hip hop to survive. To me, it's going to slowly start to fade, because if you notice, Z, Metro Boomin' had to cancel their tour because of low ticket sales. You know, they canceled that. These guys, Future, that's Future.
Right.
They canceled it. And they always say that the demise happens in the beginning, not in the end. I'm going to say it again for everybody. They always say the demise happened in the beginning, not in the end. And you can even say that with Puff, you know, just a quick sidebar. You can say, man, 30 years of hip hop, 30 years of Bad Boy, 30 years of this and this and this and this. But so many things led up to where he is now. Because you would have never, those who knew it saw it. But time reveals all. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. To the point where, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You do so many destructive, demonic things. And before you know it, boom, then you get Neo hit with this thing. Neo, who's written from, he's written some of the biggest songs in the world for Beyonce and Rihanna. This, now he got a rape and lawsuit against him. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
All alleged things that he's done. And all I want is the truth. All we all want is the truth. But it's scary that more and more women are filing lawsuits every single day. And now I got word that Jay Prince, them over there, rap a lot. They getting hit with a RICO and sex trafficking charge. So, and quietly, people like, Jay-Z is next. And I'm not saying that I've never heard anything about Jay. Or if I get heard, there's nothing been proven, because I'll go off proof.
Right.
You know, which is what I was mad at Diddy about, because you can't say you never did anything and the tape comes out. Like that kind of like, you now everything you saying is like the boy who cried wolf. So, you know, that Joan Tate dragging a girl, and kicking like a football. So, like a soccer ball, helplessly. She can't even help herself. So, which is sad. But my thing is, Cassie has opened the door. Cassie has broken the levees on the dams. People's feelings. And, you know, again, and I'm going to pass the ball off to you, Steph Curry, or in this case, Jason Tatum, you know. Shout out to the Boston Celtics for winning game one last night in clear, dramatic fashion. But, you know, it just breaks my heart that all these women, they go on set, they try to get a career, and it's all about, you got to have sex with me. You got to do this with me. You got to do that with me. And what do they get in the end? Even if you become successful from sleeping with someone or being passed around a tour bus, at the end of the day, those screams, those touches, that those filthy hands on your body, it's going to be in your soul forever.
Mm-hmm.
You can't turn that off. Money doesn't deactivate pain. Let me say that again, because that's a bar right there.
Right.
Money does not deactivate pain.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to protect your soul and save it at the same time. So we got to protect women, all colors, in music, because it's a shame that, and I'm talking to Black people right now. This is my thing to Black people. This is an art form that generates over $9 billion a year for a lot of people. T-Pain said it on Drink Champs. Go look it up. I think we touched maybe 2% of that. 1% of that, which is horrible.
What, hip hop?
Yeah, hip hop generates over $9 billion, but the artists only touch like 1 or 2%. Yeah, he's talking about the artists. So all I'm saying is that when we talk about, you know, this whole situation, you know what I'm saying? It pales in comparison. Because of the fact that the money's not drifting down to the artist. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It goes everywhere else. So, but we got to protect them. And I think now with the new platforms and music and how people can get their music out there and their brand out there, you know, and the voices are being heard more, people need to be scared of how they deal with people, because there needs to be a new fear factor into this. And it needs to go up to Congress. I feel like there needs to be laws passed in the music industry to help protect women. I believe that. And because I'm going to say this again, women run the industry. They do. They run the music industry, because everything right now regarding music and regarding the interest level, it revolves around women because all the guys are getting killed. All the guys are getting canceled. And I'm going to end you with this. Remember that rapper named DaBaby? Remember him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. The key word I said, remember him. Do you remember him? And this guy is all world. He is like amazingly talented. I mean, he was on a trajectory. Z, you can agree with this. I'm thinking.
Oh, yeah.
He was going to be out of here.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like everything was working. Everything mm-hmm. was working until it wasn't. Until he went on Rolling Loud and said those things. And then it was a burrito. It was Chipotle Grill. It was a wrap.
Mm-hmm.
It was nothing. You know, he killed this. I wouldn't say killed. He severely injured himself where he can't play ball at a high level no more. He's still in the league, but he has a very bad Achilles
mm-hmm.
tear. And because that's what women don't. You're not going to hear Ice Spice say things like that or Cardi. They never going to. When was last time a female was canceled in hip hop? It just doesn't happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Z. You got the floor. Women not being protected in hip hop. What a just an interview. iHeartRadio Red Circle. Let's get it.
Yeah, I think if you're in a place where mainly there's no rules, there's no laws, there's no restraint, there's nothing, women are going to be violated. Because in the music industry, people are attracted to it, especially the behind-the-scenes people. A lot of times the people with talent, you know, naturally do it for talent. But people that run the industry and are behind everything, they desire the drugs, sex, and, you know, rock and roll. So that's just the culture of the music industry. You know, there's no inhibitions, there's no restraint, there's no discipline. It's just feel free, go with what your heart wants, go with your emotions, go with your feelings. And that's how you create music too. You know, you're going with.
Z, you kind of breaking up a little bit, Z.
Oh, okay. Could you hear me?
Say the last part again, Z. I'm sorry. You're kind of breaking up a little bit. Say the last part again.
I said, like artists, that's how they record music. You're free. You want to be free. You want your heart to be free. You want no inhibitions. You just want to be free. And that's the culture of the music industry, from the artists to the people behind the scenes. So when it comes to men, and those feelings and that culture, you're going to naturally not have restraint when it comes to women. You know, the parties are filled with, if you're going to a regular part, a Diddy party or anybody's party, you're going to expect drugs. You're going to expect alcohol. You're going to expect, you know, with him allegedly orgies all over the place. But those are the type of, that's the environment you're in. So people aren't going and you know, they're like, oh, let's have a party and meditate, or let's just have a party and talk. No, you want to go after party, after like, say, a show or something, like you're expecting drugs, alcohol, and you're expecting to have sex, you know? So, and any female that's there and ain't with it, you know, they might get violated. Why are you here? Because sometimes I've heard men just like, why is she here? You know, she ain't trying to have a good time. So a lot of guys get caught up in just thinking that all the women are there for a certain reason and they could just violate them. They get caught up. And some of the women, I think some of the women do get in the mix just for them to, you know, catch a case, like get a guy so they can press charges on him. So, you know, it's their setups too, but I think mostly they're legit. Their guys legitimately like violating women. And I just think it's because of the culture, you know, of if it's a bunch of, I have to be real. If you have just a bunch of men, that's not a party. You know what I'm saying? You want some women there and you want to be touching on them, having them drink, talking to them, like, and you know, you take a couple of drinks, you have a, do a couple of lines or whatever they do now, to pop a couple of pills, and you know, you not, if she say no, I don't care. So it gets to that point. So that's why I think women aren't protected, because that's the culture of the music industry and of hip hop, especially because there's people in hip hop, a lot of them, I mean, I'm not saying everybody, but like, let's say a half of them are criminals. You know, they've been criminals, you know, they rap about it, you know. I'm not like if in J. Cole's camp, I doubt there would ever be someone accusing him of doing anything, because I don't think he doesn't seem that way. But there are some people that are, you know, they're criminals, and they have a record of they have a record of violating the law. So, and you know. So that's it. That's why I think women aren't protected, because of the type of people and the type of culture that's part of hip hop and the music industry in general.
Yeah. And also, too, I think one of the biggest reasons why women in hip hop are, because I'm sure it goes on in other genres, but I know it does. But the reason why we're highlighting hip hop is because of, you know, the lawsuit and the public, you know, outcries of trauma and drama that's been going on. This has happened in music, in the country business. We'll be talking about that as well. So we have to talk about what's happening here and now. And the reason why this Diddy thing is so big is because it's unlocking a lot of people's trauma. And when people's pain, trauma and pain becomes unlocked, then there's total freedom. And I'm going to say that again. When people's pain becomes unlocked, then their true freedom becomes activated. Because now it's like telling somebody everything that happened to you as a kid, the worst things that happened, you told somebody.
Right.
That prevents people from jumping off a bridge or blowing or harming themselves. You know, because they need to get it out, because you don't think nobody will understand. You don't think nobody will deal with it. So my thing is this, when it comes to, you know, where we are as a culture, when we're looking at hip hop 5 years from now, who are the faces of hip hop? What is it going to be based upon? The same thing, a manufactured beef, pull sales up, misogyny, you know what I'm saying? All these different things. I think there has to be a restart with the art form of rapping, lyricism. And most importantly, like I said before, what are we focusing on? Because to me, that's the thing, you know, of why the direction is going the way it's going. Because I think now the focus is on, you know, pop pills, demonic stuff. Like, look at what's the dude name that, Uzi Vert, I just want to rock. And they were just saying that, you know, him wearing the purse, painting the nails. Like, the thing is, and I'm not knocking that. That's what you want to do. It's your life. Yeah. But here's the thing. That's where it's going. Just like when they try to ban books from school. Why you want to ban certain books? Because you don't want people to know what's inside those books. So you don't want people to become educated. And then it's boom. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's almost like January 6th never happened.
Mm-hmm.
Those weren't real. AKA 45 supporters, they were Antifa. You know what I'm saying? Like, like there was somebody else breaking in. So after a while, the focus becomes something else, and then people change their value system. to start saying, well, it's not that bad. It's not that mm-hmm. horrible. And we have to protect, you know what I'm saying, the not only just the art form, but we have to protect the women in hip hop, because again, that's who's leading hip hop right now. When you look at the interest and the sales and everything outside of the Drake and Kendrick thing, women have been running laps around everybody. Like mm-hmm. it's not even close.
Right.
What they're doing. And I go back to women being protected. This, when have you ever seen a person get shot? And shout out to Megan Thee Stallion. When have you seen someone get shot and everybody plays detective?
Mm-hmm.
But am I right or wrong, Z?
Right. Yep.
Like everybody's in the car. Even they said WAC 100 said that they have proof that Tory didn't shoot. Like you start hearing this stuff, Z, and it's like, okay, they got proof he didn't shoot her. Well, who shot her?
Mm-hmm.
But this woman, tells her truth, and she's demonized. She's victimized by people of color saying it didn't happen. Free Tory Lane. Remember, I told you just now, when people change their perception, their values start to change. You feel me?
Right. Right.
Then it's like, well, Tory didn't shoot her. Tory Lane can get out right now and sell out a whole concert. Easy.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Easy, just based on people saying he didn't really shoot it. There's four people in the car.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of people, you know, they think it was he was set up kind of because, you know, he basically broke the industry's process of how the artist could get paid, because when he was doing his podcast during the pandemic and everybody was watching him, and then he ended up selling all he was selling music for like $1 really cheap, and then it was just direct, you know, no middleman. He ended up selling music for like $1 and he got like millions and millions of sales. He just was like, I broke it, I cracked the code or whatever. So after that, then people are like, oh, they're setting him up. He's in jail because of that instead of shooting. But the thing is, that could have irritated, you know, the industry, the music industry, because the artist is getting money direct. Yeah, of course. But if you you putting yourself in situations where it's making it easy for people to press charges on you, then that's on you. You know what I'm saying? So, like, even if, maybe some people believe, like, he probably would have been set up and gotten in jail anyway. But, you know, stuff happened. It was four people in a car and she got shot, and people are pointing to you. So, I mean, you made it easy for the industry. If that's what you believe, you made it easy for the industry to get you in jail. Like, you know, either way, whatever you believe, it still seems like he shot her, you know? So, but anyway, that's my take on it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It seems that way. But again, I'm going to move to the last topic, but the reason why I'm talking about, I bring up Megan at the end of this, women are protected, because people go to court. She took the stand. He could have taken the stand. He did not. And my thing is this. If you're innocent, if you didn't do something, take the stand.
Right.
And my thing is, only in Black culture will we get the Illuminati. We get, this is the reason why. Blame Jay-Z. Like, stop blaming Jay-Z for everything. like, just to be clear, the money that Megan Thee Stallion generates through a deal with Roc Nation is like, Jay just bought a house for $280 million cash.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So just let that sink in, people. Mm-hmm. Like, people with money, they only care about making more money. So right. if it's not impacting his bottom line, I mean, there's no disrespect to Megan, but there's another superstar out there at some point. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm just saying he don't have to wrestle with it. He just got a soccer team. like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he good, but he own his masters. Like, he's good. My thing is, that's not what drives him at this point. He's looking to help people. And that's mm-hmm. But my thing is, we go from Tory Lanez shooting someone, and then when you hit a jail cell call, it's like, oh, man, Tory Lanez and men on the jail cell call that he did it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because something happened. Somebody did something. And if you didn't want to take the stand, then you go to jail. You go to prison. You could have took the stand and just say, look, no, Megan Friend shot him. I mean, nobody, what, you don't want to snitch, but you want to blame Megan? Either we don't snitch mm-hmm. or we blame Megan. You can't blame Megan if you're not going to, if you're going to apply no snitching rule. Just be quiet. Stop saying you're innocent, because then you change the narrative on Megan. And if he came out right now and said, you know what, I did shoot. You know what people going to say?
Right.
Man, Jay-Z told him that if he didn't shoot him, if he didn't say that he would be dead. Like, you know, people will come out and say mm-hmm. stuff like that. Like, you can't mm-hmm. win. Like, you can't win. And last point before we get into that, if the government right now said we're dropping all charges against Sean Combs, through careful research, through careful research and discovery, we do not have enough to charge him with a specific crime. What do you think people are going to say? I'm talking about the black YouTuber. What are they going to say, Z? What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, tell me. I'm sorry. Say it again.
If the government came out right now and said we're not going to be charging Mr. Combs with any crime, Sean Combs, we don't have enough evidence to bring a charge to fit the magnitude of what we thought we had, human trafficking, which is what really the biggest charge is.
Right.
So we don't have enough for that. So we're not going to be charging him. What do you think the black YouTubers would think of that?
Man, it would be totally split, because right now everyone, a lot of black men are saying we got to support him. We got to, you know, they just trying to put a black man down. If he did something that deserved to be put down, then that's what he did. You know what I'm saying? So don't protect the criminal. You know, that's our problem. You know, like, oh, don't snitch. That culture got our communities looking trashy, got high crime rate, got all this stuff going on because people don't want to snitch, or don't put the black man down. Yo, like, if he's doing crazy stuff that's harming people, and you support that, then who are you? Like, you're just as bad as he is. So if they said they don't have enough, some black men would be happy. Yes, I agree. Women, most women would be furious, except some of the women, like, what was her, Kelly Price? Oh, you know, he loves God. Let's forgive him. And that's another problem with, I believe, with the black culture, is like, God forgives, you know, and then we just turn and look away at certain things. Okay. So I just think it'll be split. A lot of women would be furious because especially from that video, you know, and a lot of women would object to it. And, you know, 50 Cent will probably help them object. And 50 will probably help dig up some other videos, because, you know, I still don't know how that video got. We don't know how that video got to CNN, but I don't know. I wouldn't look past 50 as one of the people that just kind of gave them an alley-oop and passed it over. You know what I'm saying? So, but that's what I think.
No, I think that, and I respect your opinion. And just to close this point out, I think that people would say Puff's an FBI agent. He's an informant. Mm. Said that.
Yeah.
I think you missed that part, because everybody already saying Puff's an FBI agent. He's this. Oh, he's that. Because even when they raided the house, it was like, oh, they raided it, but that was just to get the tape so people wouldn't get exposed. So what I'm saying is that we don't win. You know, Puff doesn't win, even if they say we don't have enough. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Like, he doesn't win anything from this. And I'm not saying have sympathy for him, but because there's been so many dark things. My thing is that when it comes to public perception with black people, this is where I'm going. I want to get this point. We're the only race where we get litigated on YouTube and Twitter and not the court. Because, see, Johnny Depp can go to court for what his ex-wife, I think that was his ex-wife, was saying a bunch of stuff about him. And she was crying on the stand and said a bunch of horrific things. But guess what? He got proven innocent and nobody said a word. He's back in Hollywood doing not one white media outlet even utter talk about that again. Rightfully mm-hmm. so. Rightfully so. He won in court. Leave it alone. But we don't do that. We still say OJ did it. You know what I'm saying? Like, what was the purpose of paying the lawyers for?
Mm-hmm.
When R. Kelly got acquitted from the tape, you got to say he got acquitted from the tape, whether you agree with it or not. He did get acquitted by 12. It takes 12 jurors to acquit.
Right.
It only takes one person to say, I don't believe it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Just like with the case with 45, he just got recently charged 34 counts of fraud. You do know they all said 34 counts. They didn't say, not one person said he didn't do all of that. So my point is, when somebody goes to court, let the court speak.
Right.
But we don't do that. Tory Lane had his day in court. He said, I'm not going on the stand. Case closed. You can't cry about it from prison now saying I didn't shoot her. I just want whatever the four people in the room. Megan said she didn't shoot herself. I believe that. Who shot her then? Well, because what advantage does she have shooting? She didn't get paid from the shooting. So the thing about this, from a business perspective, she didn't get paid from the shooting. She didn't get an endorsement from the shooting. What was the motive for her shooting herself and blaming you? If that's right. The case, if she did shot herself, she would have just said, I don't want to talk. It was self-inflicted. Some happy was playing around with the gun. She would have just said a whole different story.
Right. Megan being from Texas, you know, them Texas people know how to handle guns. So, I can think, you know, in New York, like, you know, if you not, you know, down with any, you know, gang or whatever, you don't really have a gun. It's hard to get a gun in New York and have the right to have it. So most people don't know how to handle a gun. So if it was Cardi B in the car and it was like she shot herself, I'm like, yo, that's believable. That's possibility. But for them to say, oh, Megan shot herself, like, you know, I don't know. It's just, you know, they kind of, in Texas, they're raised with guns and know how to handle it. So that's just another thought I had. I thought it was kind of interesting, but that's it.
All right, last topic, FM radio. How relevant is FM radio? You know, we're in a space now where FM radio is like, has changed so much with this popularity, with the demand. I mean, people used to wake up in the morning and play the radio just to get ready for work. You know, people get in their car. Oh, let me turn on the radio, see what's popping. And people still do that. But honestly, we have to talk about the state of FM radio because nothing stays the same. Everything evolves in life by force or by choice. Real talk. That's a bar right there. So everything in life, you know, evolves, whether by choice or by force at some point. So my thing is this with radio. I haven't listened to regular radio in a very long time. Because years, over a decade, because of the fact that the relevancy of the information isn't there anymore because of the strategic programming they need to have in order to sell ads. Because radio is about selling ads. It's not about breaking records. It's about taking the most popular people, putting them on a radio, whether their song good or not. I'm going to give an example. When Nicki Minaj had the song Anaconda, I promise you, I heard that song in a day one time. I was driving with the radio.
Right.
I heard that song maybe 50 times.
Mm-hmm.
And I never understood that. But then I had to think about it. Wait a minute. Without going into so many details, they have to support her song because she supports their station.
Right.
But it doesn't mean the record was good. Because it wasn't. I don't think anybody 10 years from now is talking about Anaconda. I don't even think Nicki even performs that record when she's live. You know what I'm saying? So my thing, to me, I think programming on radio has shifted over to YouTube. Because think about this. People watch The Breakfast Club on YouTube more than they may listen to it on their actual radio. Because who has time to sit on their phone and just listen to hours of radio unless they're in a position at work and they're working or something like that? But it's so many other avenues to get content that's more appealing. Especially when social media impacted radio in a bad way, in my opinion, because it took people can go straight to social media. Like I can go to Twitter right now and type in any subject and watch people reaction and listen to the latest news on it all day.
Right.
Just on Twitter or X. Or I can go to YouTube and do the same thing. I can go to YouTube and type in Diddy latest news. And Tisa Tales will pop up. This person will pop up. Tough mm-hmm. news. You know what I'm saying? It's like a million challenges giving me real time.
Oh, yeah.
And then when I go on YouTube, I see Hot 97, Power 105. They're just reposting stuff that we already know. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, why would I listen to Hot 97 right now unless I'm listening for Flex or unless I want to hear Ebro? I think the fans of those personalities is what drives it. But in today's climate, and this is just my final thoughts on it, the fan is the content. I don't think it's a person anymore. I think people want their version of truth, which is why all these platforms and podiums have been established so people's voices can be heard in a different way. I don't think radio feeds the people anymore. I think radio just feeds the benefit of itself because even the Summer Jam, we'll talk about this next week. What's the impact of Summer Jam? What's the impact of Summer Jam? I'm just saying, like,
right.
When Summer Jam was the thing, I mean, Michael Jackson, Jay-Z, like, Summer Jam, 50 Cent, like, Summer Jam was it, man.
Right.
And no disrespect to the people that have on there, Sexy Red, this person. Summer Jam is a local concert now. Once you lose that, it's like the We Build Different conference, you know, people look forward to it. You feel like you got to dress up for it. You feel like you got to be on your best. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm not comparing our thing to everything. I'm just saying, when you keep the allure or the prestige of something high, you know, it makes people respect it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got to get ready for this. And that's why. It's like when Jay, we used to boycott the Grammys. It kind of lost it. And then he came back to the Grammys because his daughter got a Grammy. You know what I'm saying? But that's another conversation the other day. But I think FM radio is losing its relevancy because of the fact that TikTok and social media have shifted people's interest to finding the best music there. Like, take Young Wildin'. Good energy. I don't need no negativity around me. Like, the dude just blew up on TikTok. Naturally. Before radio even caught the record. Like, radio would have never caught that record. Social media brought that record to 99 Jams in Miami. So it's like, because nobody's hunting anymore for music. It's just pre-programmed. And you got a few personalities talking, but I don't think it's the same. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, to me, radio is like 106 in Park, right? Okay. 106 in cool. Park. I'm ready to hear this. You said you ready to hear this.
Oh, I'm ready to hear this. I like where it's going.
Because 106 in Park was the thing. You went after school. You went home. You watched 106 in Park. You know, you listening to the new videos. But all of a sudden, YouTube, Vevo. Hey, I can watch the videos that I want to watch whenever I want to watch it. I don't have to listen to the number 3, number 4 video to wait to hit to the number 1 video. I don't, or music or song. I don't have to hear that. So when, as soon as YouTube pretty much came out and that you can listen to your music stream on demand, radio was a dying animal. You know what I'm saying? And it's dying a slow death, but it just is dying. And no one can debate that. Look at the audience. Look at how much, you know, attention is getting, how much listeners is getting. It's all gone down, you know? So, and it's just like TV. Radio and TV are just in the same kind of category. Like the Generation Z, they're not watching TV, you know, because they want to watch what they want to watch. They want to watch what they want to watch. So anything, when it came on demand, I could stream what I want. I could listen to what I want. I could watch what I want. I could watch whatever video I want. Then radio became a dying breed. That's one. Also, before, people would listen to the radio, like the Breakfast Club, on your way to work, right? So, yeah, you can, I mean, now you can just, you know, stream stuff and listen to that stuff on your way to work. So as soon as you're able to connect your phone to your car, it was a wrap there too. But then also, a lot of people are working from home. You know, so the whole culture of radio, and I got to listen to this radio, or I have to listen to the habit of listening to the Breakfast Club in the morning. You break that when you're not driving to work anymore, you know. So just different. We've developed a different culture now, and radio, I still like radio. But the relevance is not as strong as YouTube. The relevance is not as strong as these streaming sites. And the same thing goes with TV. You know, I know when Nick Cannon was doing his daytime show, he did it for like a year. And he was just like, the money ain't like there like it was. Like, he understands how Oprah was making billions, millions off of her daytime show, but it's different now. You know, people aren't sitting there like, oh, I can't wait till my show come on. They gonna stream that show when they have time. Like the, say Power, you know, like Power came on and you missed it, but then you could stream it later. Like that's where it's going, you know, that's where it's gone. So on demand is what it is where it's at. So people don't wanna hear, and radio also, the advertisers, there's a lot, you have to pay off your advertisers and, you know, and, well, actually the people that's paying, some people pay to play, right? So
yeah, of course.
That like the songs you were talking about, Anaconda, when you heard it like a million times in one day, like that's annoying. That is super annoying. Like they're drilling a song into your head till you like it, until you like hypnotized by it. So that was radio. And that was the most annoying thing about radio. So people don't like it. So they're like, I don't want to hear that song. I want to hear the songs I like. And therefore, that's what it is. Radio is dying. Sorry.
Yeah. iHeartRadio, they change. They laid off a lot of people. A lot of the mixes now are, I think they were
AI.
Yep, AI pre-programmed. AI. So we're going to talk about this next week. We got a big conversation about AI. We might have to go an hour and a half on that one, Z. yeah. No, for real, because we're going to talk about AI with health, AI with journalism. I mean, AI destroyed journalism. Like,
literally,
like you can run a whole blog through AI. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, because everything sounds just like it. And what's so funny is when I'm writing articles, even if I want to, you know, take AI, I'll write the thought and I'll compare it to AI. It's scary how they can take my original thoughts about someone and make it sound as if I wrote that version.
Right. Yeah.
My version already, you know my writing skills, Z. Epic. But
yeah,
take my idea. I can tell this is what I wrote, rewrite it. And they can rewrite it in a strong way to match it. So imagine the people who can't write on my level.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, you know what I'm saying? And yeah. They are like using AI to accomplish even artwork, everything. But we'll talk about that next week. But going back to this last thing on radio, because I know you got to get out of here, catch this flight to Japan. But listen, when it comes to FM radio, and I want to tell everybody this, I love FM radio. I love the fact that there's a local connection. Here's where I think FM radio can be better. Is if FM radio gets back involved more with the community when it comes to the businesses and the local artists. I think if they start touching the crowd again, like for instance, they may say, listen, guys, independent artists, we want to support y'all. We're going to, here is what you need to do in order to have your music considered for airplay. With no strings attached, no nothing on our station. And we will be picking different artists every month. But like, don't call us. Don't hit us up on the phone. Just don't email us. Send us. We'll confirm we got it. And boom. Even put on a concert where artists can pay to be in the concert as far as, you know, performing and see what the public thinks. Get more involved. If you keep the people involved, your business will stay alive. If you don't let the people stay involved, it won't. Why is 50 Cent so successful in TV? And I'm going to answer that question from my perspective. I know you're a big 50 fan. So but here's why 50 Cent is so successful in TV. He gets the youth involved. He gets the people involved. When has a dude say, I'm going to go to New Orleans and open up a studio? A big 980,000 square foot studio, create jobs. He's on Capitol Hill talking about it. Even if he was talking about the spirit business, but he's pushing his TV network. Everybody wants to know, okay, when the next BMF, when this show, people are invested. He has the public invest. He got rappers that are hitting him up saying, y'all want to be on TV, Phil. Cause he can, but he keeps the people involved. He took a show called Power and made it an underground king. Shout out to UJK and UGK and Bun B. He made it into an underground king to the point where it went mainstream on a premium cable platform where you have to pay to watch it. So my thing is this. If they get the people involved, it'd be worth it. If not, I mean, Funk Flex is not going to be around forever. He just not. And you got to find his replacement at some point. I don't care how good he looks. I don't care how many. Well, he admitted he got liposuction or some kind of body enhancement. But no matter how good he looks, people just, a kid 19 years old may not want to talk to Flex. He want to talk to the Kai dude who's a streamer. So radio has to get involved and tap into the Twitch world, tap into these streamers, bring people around. Just like journalism. I mean, who interviews hip hop artists anymore on a big platform? They really don't. Like, Sexy Red can go to Breakfast Club, but that really not going to affect her. She don't have to go. I mean, she doesn't need it, to be honest. She gets it just for branding, but she doesn't need it. To me, radio has to do a better job of reinvesting. That's why she'll do Wallow and Gilly and be in the car and she's showing them her feet. You know what I'm saying? They're looking at her feet saying, these are your feet. Like, you can't do that on the Breakfast Club. You can't.
Right.
It's not going to make Wallow and Gilly fill a hole. That's why Wallow and Gilly got the big deal. Multi-million. Because they can do Wallow and Gilly adventures, acting crazy. Not crazy, but, you know, just acting very different. They can be more expensive with their marketing approach in traditional radio. So in conclusion, radio needs to reconnect with the people. So those are my thoughts. Z, what did you think of today's More Than Just an Interview?
It was great as usual. You know, we both have different opinions, but you know, I think the people will kind of agree with both of us a little bit with both of us. So I think we're good.
I think that with us, we have different opinions, but the same purpose. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. T-shirt. Two different opinions, one purpose. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Not just to find the truth. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the great thing about perspectives. We can have different thoughts and stuff like that, but it's like we gotta find the truth in the end. And that's one thing I like about co-hosting with you, is that you always about the truth and you don't run from that. And I think that you trigger a different perspective than I could ever think about. And I like that. So that's cool. Thank you, Zoe Rose. Go hit her up on IG at IAMZOERosegold.
G-O-L-D. Yes.
Yep, got it. And y'all hit up Radio Pushers, Radio Pushers TV. And y'all also hit up the Music Hype Beast as well. And we got the Instagram account coming from more than just an interview. We got that coming. That should be in position next week. We're going to put together some dope clips, put everything up there, and we'll appreciate y'all. Peace and love, people.
All right. Peace.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.